Psalm 20. You know, the last time I preached, we were talking about prayer. And today, we're again gonna be talking about prayer. Last time, the preaching was about, to pray when in need. The text today is a little similar to that, but today we're gonna be focusing more about the confidence of God's people when they are praying, and that's what we can find in Psalms 20. When we are in trouble, sometimes we miss obvious solutions, not because we're not smart, not because we're not intelligent, but because of how our minds sometimes are shaped and by habit, by pride or by fear or by emotion. And so we miss the obvious solution. You probably experienced one of these when your emotions run high. Whether it's anxiety, fear, frustration, sometimes our thinking gets cloudy. We lose clarity. Let me give you a few examples that we can all relate to. Have you ever called the IT guy because your computer wouldn't turn on at your workplace? And later realized that your computer wasn't just plugged in. Or maybe on a very busy morning, you turned the whole house upside down, looking for your glasses, only to find them sitting on the top of your head. Well, just this week, Maricon and I, we were watching over the Brandon's place. Suddenly, the water stopped flowing. And we followed their instruction. We pressed the red button. That's what they told us. And if that didn't work, we'd have to call the maintenance. And so we did. We called them. But it was the weekend. So we waited for 2 whole days without water. Then the night before the repair guy was about to come, I discovered the problem. It wasn't complicated. The water pump switch inside the house wasn't turned on. All it needed was to be switched back on. We lose how many gallons of drinking water inside the house because of that? We missed the obvious solution. The solution was there all along, but we didn't look in the simple places. And isn't it sometimes the picture of our Christian life? Often, when we are faced with trouble, with problems, stress or uncertainty, we run around, worry, try everything we know, and only when things break down do we pray. And sometimes when we do pray, we also pray with uncertainty. We're not confident. We do not really think that praying to God will help us. But the Bible tells us clearly that Christians should pray to the Lord, especially in the day of trouble. And Psalms 20 serves as a window through which we can see why God's people should do this. That's the main idea of our sermon today that I want you to take home. Pray with confidence in God because of Christ's victory. Pray with confidence in God because of Christ's victory. And I will try to explain this in our sermon text through the ways by which God's people can pray to the Lord in times of trouble. And these are the 3 points that are going to explain our sermon text. First, pray to the Lord in troubled times. Pray to the Lord in troubled times. Second, pray with confidence in Christ. Pray with confidence in Christ. And last, pray with humbleness, giving glory to God. Pray with humbleness, giving glory to God. We will learn these things as we look at Psalms 20 and see that Christians can pray with confidence in God because of Christ's victory. But first, let's read Psalms 20 together. Psalms 20, starting verse 1, says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of Jacob's God protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and sustain you from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offering. May he give you what your heart desires and fulfill your whole purpose. Let us shout for joy at your victory and lift the banner in the name of our God. May the Lord fulfill all your requests. Now I know that the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with mighty victories from his right hand. Some take pride in chariots and others in horses, but we take pride in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. May he answer us on the day that we call." Let's pray to the Lord. Father, we pray that you would teach us through your word by the work of your Spirit to enable us to see the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and cause us to worship him with humble hearts and confidence in the name of the Lord our God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Psalm 20 is a psalm of David. And we can see that in this inscription written on the top of our passage. But though it was written by David, it was written for God's people to use in times of trouble, especially before the battle. We see that in verse 7, when it speaks about chariots, horses, these are symbols of military strength. And so Psalms 20 is a song to be sung during the troubled times. To understand this psalm, we can look at Solomon's prayer when he dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 6. In 2 Chronicles 6:14, Solomon praises God for faithfully keeping his covenant with his people and for dwelling among them through the temple. Then in verses 24 and 25, he prays that if Israel is defeated in battle because of sin, but turns back to God in prayer in that temple, may God hear, may he forgive, and restore his people. That's the prayer of Solomon. Now, one example of this in action is found in 2 Chronicles 20. When you go to 2 Chronicles 20, there we can find another king of Judah. He's a descendant of King David. His name is King Jehoshaphat. He was faced with vast armies of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and combined with the ally of Edomites. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, King Jehoshaphat prayed in this way, which is the same thing that King Solomon prayed in the dedication of the temple. King Jehoshaphat said, "Lord, if disaster come on us, we will stand before this temple. We will cry out to you, and you will hear and deliver." And that's exactly what happened. The people, together with their king, prayed together to God and trusted God's promise. And while they are about to face the battle, they sing with praises and songs of confidence to the Lord. And the result? God gave them victory. When they arrived at the battlefield, the enemy was already defeated. And so Psalms 20 reflects this kind of prayer. King David wrote Psalm 20 so that God's people, through the leading of their king, would pray to the Lord on a day of trouble. And that's what we can find in verse 1. That is the first thing we learn from the first five verses of this psalm. That during troubled times, simply pray to the Lord. That's the first point of our sermon. Pray to the Lord in troubled times. Look at verse 1. It says, "May the Lord answer you in a day of trouble. May the name of Jacob's God protect you." This psalm, first of all, if we will analyze this, is a covenant reminding prayer. The king must call in the name of who? The God of Jacob. Who is the God of Jacob? He is the God who made covenant with Abraham to bless him and his descendants. He's the one who made covenant with Abraham and his descendants to make them as God's people. And so this prayer is a reminder that God intends to bless his people. And the king is to recall these blessings, these covenant promises, when he prayed this prayer together with the congregation. Then look at verse 2. The king would pray, "May he send you help from the sanctuary." It reminds them that God is near them. The temple means that God dwells among his people. The temple reminds them that of Emmanuel, God with us. And then Zion is also mentioned in verse 2. Zion is what? The city of David. It is where God rules through the king that he has anointed. And so this prayer is a prayer of asking help from God and asking for God's protection. Then look at verse 3. He continued his plea to God to remember the offerings made in the temple and to accept their burnt offerings. And this is a reminder that God forgives and God restores. Because what are offerings for? Those offerings that are burned in the temple are for the atonement of their sins, for the fellowship between man and God. This is a reminder of an unhindered fellowship, unhindered relationship. And because of this restored relationship, we can now go to verse 4 and verse 5 and understand a greater expectation that God will hear their prayers, fulfill their plans, and give them victory. God will give victory to the king. God's people are now called to rejoice in the victory by lifting the banner in the name of the God of Jacob, showing that their confidence does not lie in their own strength and might, but in the name of the Lord. Psalms 21-5 teaches God's people to pray to the Lord in the day of trouble and remember all his promises. Now, this psalm might feel distant on us. After all, we're not like Judah, surrounded by many enemy nations. We do not really feel the threat of the danger. We were only given a glimpse of the kind of danger that Judah felt by watching the news about Israel and Iran. But still, most of us aren't facing these kind of threats. So this psalm might feel distant. But church, we do face real trouble. We do have real enemy. One who wants to destroy us. The battle might not be with armies, but with endurance and perseverance in faith during temptations, during trials, during sufferings, during fears. And Paul, one of the people who received the covenant given by the Lord Jesus Christ, reminds the whole church about this in Ephesians 6:12, that their struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against evil and spiritual forces that want to destroy them. And so we do have real enemy, brothers and sisters. And Psalms 20 reminds us that while the church wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we are at war with our enemy. And God's people, what should you do? We should pray in the troubled times. We should pray for endurance. We should pray for perseverance and faith. And so the question that we should ask is how? How should I pray? We'll go to Psalms 20. Because Psalms 20 teaches us how to pray to the Lord. And that is by reminding ourselves with the covenant promises that is given to us by the Lord God. This passage reminds us of who God is. It reminds us of what God has done. And it reminds us of the promises of God for His people. So even when you feel hopeless, or when your faith seems weak, Psalms 20 gives you a solid reason for hope. It points us to God's faithfulness to His covenant promises. And church, this is 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, for every one of God's promises is yes in Him. And who is that Him? That is Christ Jesus. That means that every promises that God has made is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It means that the blessing that is promised to Abraham is now in Christ. It means that God's help is now found, not in the temple in Jerusalem, but in Christ. It means that we do not need to offer sacrifices because Christ once for all has offered His body for the atonement of our sins, and that God will accept us because of the offering of Jesus Christ. All that remains for God's people to do is to believe that promises that is ours in Christ Jesus. And if that is true, why not pray to the Lord in troubled times? Why miss the solution that is very obvious before our eyes? You know, like Israel, sometimes we feel like God won't listen to our prayers, especially when we're weighed down by guilt over sins. Well, the enemy really likes that. He will keep reminding you of your sin. He will use that to defeat you. He is happy when we do not pray. But church, God also promised the complete forgiveness of your sin through Christ Jesus. And so what do we need to do when we sin before God? Confess your sin before the Lord, because God forgives in Christ Jesus. God also has given us a promised helper, the Holy Spirit. When we are weighed down by our guilt, let the Holy Spirit sanctify us. Let us hate sin for what it is and love Jesus Christ. Cling to Jesus Christ. So when you are weighed down with guilt over sin, instead of running away, pray. Instead of running away, read the Bible. Remind yourself of God's promises in Christ Jesus. And repent from your sins. And remember God's covenant promises that are yours in Christ Jesus. Other times we don't pray because of pride. We think that we can handle things on our own. And many times the Israelites were blinded by their pride, and that kept them from the only true source of help. And that's why sometimes they experience suffering. They were exiled to Babylon because of their pride. Brothers and sisters, leave that pride. Run to the Lord in prayer. And friends, this is why I urge you to seriously consider the gospel message you are hearing today, especially if this is the first time that the Bible makes sense to you. Let me tell you one truth. You cannot pray to God and expect God's promises unless you believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises for His people. What you really need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to believe that His death on the cross is the sacrificial offering that atones for your sin. And the only rightful response is for you to acknowledge your need of His forgiveness and His salvation, and for your willingness to submit your life under His lordship. So, dear friends, this is how you must pray to the Lord in your own troubled times, which is to repent from your sin and accept Jesus Christ in your life. So let me remind us once again that whether it's a national crisis or just a tiny troubled time in our life, the proper response is what? Pray to the Lord and remember His promises. Now, another reason why people don't pray to the Lord is doubt. When the enemy whispers to you, "Why bother? Did God really say He will help?" Well, you can say to the enemy, "Depart from me, for Christ has already won the victory." And this is what I want you to see in our second point today. That when we pray to God in troubled times, we should pray with confidence through Jesus Christ, who won the battle for us. He is God's anointed, and the victory was given to Him. So let's look at Psalms 20, verse 6. Can we read that passage? Psalms 20, verse 6 says, "Now I know that the Lord gives victory to His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with mighty victories from His right hand." The first part of Psalms 20 teaches us how to pray in troubled times. But now, starting in verse 6, the tone of this song changes. It moves from pleading to God or asking God for help to a confident trusting that He will answer. In verse 6, David says, "Now I know." Now I know. It's a sudden strong shift of feelings from pleading to a greater confidence. And in the Bible, when we read the prophetical books, when we read the word "now," it often means that God is changing things. God is about to act, either to bless or to judge. And so what is God about to do in this passage? Well, David says, "The Lord gives victory to His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with mighty victories from His right hand." And even though the battle hasn't happened yet, David is sure of the outcome. Why? Because he knows that God will hear His anointed one. That God will be with His anointed one. Now, what does anointed mean? In the Bible, to be anointed is to have oil poured on your head as a sign that you've been chosen by God for a special task. That's what being anointed means. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed to show they were set apart for God's work. So in this psalm, David says that the people can be confident, not because the danger is gone, but because God will listen to His anointed. To the one God has chosen to do a special task. God will listen to His prayers. God will save His people. You know, in the Philippines, there is a familiar saying, nasa Diyos ang awa, nasa tao ang gawa. My co-Filipinos knows that. In English, it is translated this way. Mercy comes from God, but actions from human beings. It's a principle that encourages responsibility. God is merciful, but we must act. And rightly understood, it can be a helpful reminder in the Christian life. But without a proper grasp of God's grace, this saying can lead us to a faithless mindset. That prayer is a kind of gamble. That whether or not God answers, at least we do our part. We pray. And this kind of prayer is not rooted in faith. It's a faithless prayer. But Psalms 20 verse 6 is different. David prays with confidence. And not in himself. Not in the Israel's strength. But in the sure victory that God will give to his anointed king. David is showing us something deeper. That the foundation of God's mercy and grace and blessing upon his people is not a result of human effort, but a divine promise attached to the anointed king. God's covenant blessing does not rest on Israel's obedience, but on the fulfillment of God's covenant through the anointed one. And David knew that he isn't that ultimate king because he sinned before the Lord. Yes, he was anointed with oil. Yes, he was chosen king over Israel during that time. But David was only a shadow, a type of the one to come. The one who would fulfill every covenant stipulation. The one who would obey the Father perfectly, reign eternally, and the one who will intercede for his people faithfully. That one is Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. David was just looking ahead, but we know, brothers and sisters, we no longer look ahead for the fulfillment of God's covenant. We now enjoy its realization in Christ Jesus. God has given victory to King Jesus. And so now we can pray with confidence when we pray in Jesus' name. So brothers and sisters, when we pray in the day of trouble, we should not pray with uncertainty like gamblers. We do not pray hoping that our works or our efforts will tip the scales. No, we pray with confidence. Not because of our own righteousness, but because of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ presented to God, holy and acceptable and pleasing in his sight. Jesus Christ is our assurance. He is our victory. In him, our prayers are not gamble. They are grounded in God's mercy and grace found in Jesus Christ. That's why we were reminded earlier in our second scripture reading, Jesus Christ prayed for his people. John 16:26 says, on that day you will ask in my name, and I'm not telling you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. And brothers and sisters, the disciples didn't know during that time, but now you know that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. Hebrews 7:25 declares he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. And Romans 8:24 affirms Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. Where is Jesus Christ now? He is seated at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. So pray with confidence. Our King Jesus leads his people to pray the language of Psalm 20, a prayer of covenant hope and a prayer of confidence, because now we can pray grounded in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We pray knowing that mercy and grace is available for the children of the King, confident of His grace and love, anchored with the unshakable promises that is in Christ Jesus. Just as King David and King Solomon and King Jehoshaphat once stood between God and His people, King Jesus Christ stood between you and God today. So why not pray with confidence? Let the pastor of Hebrews 4:16 encourage you. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So are you troubled today? Psalm 20 tells you, pray to the Lord with confidence through Jesus Christ. Once we understood that everything depends on God's grace, and that grace is found in Christ Jesus, our attitude of prayer should be transformed. It should not only be a confident prayer, but a humble prayer. A heart that takes no pride in self, but boasts in the name of the Lord our God. And this is the final point of our sermon today that I want us to learn from this passage. Pray with humbleness, giving glory to God. Let's now turn to verse 7 to 9 of Psalm 20. Some take pride in chariots, and others in horses. But we take pride in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. May He answer us on the day that we call. Psalm 20 starts with a plea to God for help, but it ends with a resounding confidence to the praise of God and a humble posture of heart. Look at verse 7. Some take pride in chariots and others in horses, but we take pride in the name of the Lord our God. David knew the danger of trusting in what we can see and touch, in military strength, in political power, in wealth, or even our own abilities. These are the chariots and horses of every generation. They promise security and safety, but they don't deliver. They cannot save. David also knew the human tendency to forget God after deliverance. We can know that by the many examples in Israel history. Just look at Exodus. After God parted the Red Sea, made the people cross that sea, rescued His people, what happened in the wilderness? They quickly turned to a golden calf. In the book of Judges, after every deliverance that was given to them by the judge that the Lord has sent, Israel returned to idolatry. And even King Solomon, the one who was bestowed with wisdom, turned his heart away from the Lord to the idols of his many wives. This pattern shows us that the human heart is always tempted to trust in something other than God. But Psalm 20 calls us back. It reminds us that our true confidence, our true pride, must be in the name of the Lord our God. For He alone delivers. He alone sustains. He alone deserves our trust. Now look at verse 9. After giving the credit to God, David returned to a posture of humility. Lord, give victory to the King. May He answer us in the day that we call. He once again knelt and prayed. He humbled himself before the Lord. This is not a contradiction. After complete confidence, Now you are humbling yourself? No, this is a completion of prayer. True confidence in God always leads to a humble prayer. And David is teaching us that that is the proper posture of faith. Not boasting in ourselves, but praying with dependence on God. Not claiming victory for our own glory, but pleading for God to act so that His name would be praised. This is the heart of Psalms 20. A people who trust not in chariots and not in horses, but in the name of the Lord their God, and who express that trust through a humble and confident prayer. We live in a time when prayer feels unnecessary to many. What once was seen as miraculous, as miracles, as signs and wonders, is now dismissed as myth and magic tricks. In the past, people prayed and waited, sometimes for days, months, and even years. Today, we tap the screen, swipe a card, and what we desire arrives at our doorstep. So the question people would ask is, why wait on God when the world offers quick answers? And so the question comes, is prayer really necessary? Is the Lord truly worthy of praise? Do people need to humble themselves before God? Isn't self-sufficiency more practical than faith? These are the silent doubts and the loud objections thrown at Christians today, inspired by the enemy, especially as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, the one in whom we have placed our hope and confidence. But Psalms 20, brothers and sisters, speaks directly into this tension. It reminds us today that while the world boasts in what is visible, chariots, horses, credit scores, convenience, God's people, the church boasts in what is eternal. The church boasts in the name of the Lord our God. Psalms 20 calls you into that deeper reality. That prayer is not the last resort. It is our first response. That waiting on God is not weakness. It is a sign of strong confidence in the Lord. It is worship. That humility before God is not outdated. It's a mark of true faith, knowing that God will answer. In a world that prizes speed, self-reliance, and spectacle, Psalm 20 reorients our hearts to what God's people must do. Pray. But pray with confidence. Boast. Not in what you can do, but boast in the name of the Lord. Boast especially on what Christ has already done. Christians pray as their humble posture of acknowledging that the glory belongs to our God. You know, when Jesus Christ walked on earth, His prayer often seemed insignificant to the watching world. He was more known and was more impressed by raising the dead, by giving sight to the blind. He was famous because of that. But church, do you know what truly brought you here today? It's not the miracles. It's not the mighty wonders, but the humble prayer of Jesus Christ. John 17:20, Jesus prayed, "I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." And the result of that prayer is you who place your faith in Jesus Christ. That humble prayer offered to the Father is what gathered you, a Gentile, into the fold of God. That prayer is what brought you, a once lost sheep, into the arms of the Good Shepherd. This is what a humble, faithful prayer can do. But only when it is prayed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we pray in Jesus' name. We end our prayers in Jesus' name, not as a ritual, but as a declaration of confidence that God hears us because of Him, that our prayers are honored because of Him, that our access to the throne of grace is secured by Him. So give credit to whom credit is due. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord. While the world boasts in other things, let's boast in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is eternally significant. Church, the world is full of trouble, and we don't need to prove that. While the world searches for solutions in many places other than God, Christians, the church, find their solution in a very simple place. We pray. We pray to the Lord with confidence, because Christ is victorious. So pray to the Lord in the day of your trouble. Pray with confidence in Christ. And pray humbly, giving glory to our God. Let us pray.